Hello, everyone. My name is John Williams, and I'm the Chief Executive of the Institute of Leadership. And I welcome you to our monthly podcast show, Leadership at the Edge, where we share ideas across the community of leadership practice in every context, everywhere. Each month, I'm joined by senior leaders from around the world to discuss their real life experiences, to challenge some of the outdated leadership practices, and to offer a fresh take on the issues that today's leaders face. We invite you to join the conversation via social media using the hashtag Leadership at the Edge, or to send a voice message via the podcast page on Anchor with your questions to our guest. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast series and leave a review. In this episode, we'll be discussing leadership with my special guest, Judith Germain. Judith is founder of Maverick Paradox and Maverick Paradox Media, and author of The Maverick Paradox, The Secret Power Behind Successful Leaders. Judith describes herself as a hopeful pragmatist and says her mission is to propel the maverick mindset into a world where character and integrity has a higher premium than personality and bureaucracy. So who better to discuss the principles and practices of leadership and how being a maverick can impact those leadership outcomes? Judith, welcome.
Hi, John. It's great to be here.
It's absolutely great to have you on the show, Judith. And I know we have often some really, really good conversations. But actually, this will be the first time that I've had the opportunity to ask you about the Maverick Paradox. So can we sort of start with that? And the main question, I guess, is what is Maverick leadership?
The way I look at Maverick leadership is that it's contextualized adaptive leadership.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's one way of looking at it. It's about who you are and what you do. So lots of leadership theories it feels a bit manipulative to me. It's if you mm-hmm. can do this special sauce,
yeah,
to these people, then they'll do what you want. And it has no reference to you, the leader, and
yeah,
what part you play in it, other mm-hmm. than the puppeteer that's moving things. So I look at leadership very much, or Maverick leadership specifically, not that magical cloak, Superman cloak you put on when you get to work. It's mm-hmm. the underwear that you put on when you get up. It's that integral right. to who right. you are. So, you know, that's how I see it. And Maverick leadership is about, you talked about the integrity piece. It's recognizing that leadership is personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's personal because it brings from you the aspects of you. So your own leadership identity.
Yep.
Your principles, your values, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And when you do something to an individual, when you interact with them, it is personal to them. And you must personalize your interaction. So Maverick right. leadership recognizes that leadership is a beautiful dance. And if you think of old style dancing, like the waltz yep. and stuff like that, the man yep. comes along and he leads and the woman follows. And what that shows is that the woman changes the way that she dances every time, because every man dances differently.
Yeah.
Maverick leadership is telling it the other way around. We, the leaders, are the ones that changes the way we dance. We do not expect our employees, our followers, to change for us. We are observant enough to change to what they need to help them move forward.
Right. OK. And I guess in that way, it differs from something like situational leadership, which can be described as formulaic, mm-hmm. I guess, to a certain degree. So this is, as you said, gets right down to the personal, in a sense. It's interesting, this, because I was talking to somebody yesterday, actually, about personal brand. And, mm-hmm. and they said, what do you mean by personal brand? And I said, it's the you inside that shows on the outside. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's a little bit like your description of Maverick leadership, really. This is the leader that's inside, and we show it on the outside. Is that too simplistic a model, do you think?
No, I absolutely love it. But I think also what comes with it, unlike other type of leadership, there is a focus on execution.
Right.
Right. Okay. So it's yeah. not good enough to talk a good game. It needs to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you do it in a way that brings people with you. I talk about a lot about Maverick leaders being very driven. So mm-hmm. as we keep talking, you'll discover that I love an acronym, right?
Yep. Yep.
So driven for me is determination. So mm-hmm. do you have the determination to do it?
Yep.
Okay. Reputation. So yep. when you do a thing, what reputation are you carrying with that? Are you known for completing things on time? What sort of integrity level do you have? That kind of thing. Yeah. And the I stands for influential. So you need to understand the dynamics of influence and how that works.
Yeah.
V is about versatility. So how versatile, this is like the dance, how versatile can you be?
Yeah.
E is about being execution driven, not implementation driven, execution driven. And the N is narration. Are you narrating as you go what is happening? And that's how you bring people along.
Ah, now that's very interesting. I'll just pick up on the narration bit, because that's we talk a lot now, actually, in leadership terms, of course, about storytelling and things like this. That for me is very different from I'll tell you a story and then you'll follow me as a leader. That's as you indicate, this is the story unfolding as we execute this, that sort of stuff. And actually, is it always there for the leadership figure that does that narration? Or can it move around, say, within a team and stuff like this? Is it also always a responsibility of the maverick leader to be doing that narration?
It's interesting. So for maverick leaders, my belief is that they exist everywhere, right? So it's not title. Right. So it's definitely not about title.
Yep.
Janitor can be a maverick leader, right? Because it's about how you act along with who you are.
Yeah.
So on that basis, yes, it is spread out, and you're up, you know, as the role of the leader is to empower and to grow more of them. So everybody is maverick leading. And I think the reason I picked narration rather than storytelling is because it's a recognition that you are narrating a story for everything that happened. So a new project, guys, this is the story. This is, you know, you storytizing it. As you go through this change, you're narrating and pacing people through that change as well.
Which I guess helps people, in a sense, A, to understand what's happening, because somebody is, in a sense, explaining as part of that narration. Also, actually, may help them to understand how the leadership figure sees that process, because the leadership figure is narrating, is telling them how that process looks. Do you think that works in terms of keeping everybody on side? I don't mean together, I think, really, in terms of how they interpret where the process is going and where the project is going, if the narration is being made clear by the leadership figure.
Yeah, I think there's a strong communication element of it. But what's the most important bit is the alignment. It's for people to see, I see where this is going and I want to be aligned to it.
Right.
And it's also preparation. Right. So, for example, in the past, when I was a HRD, you know, sometimes you have to make people redundant. Sometimes it's large scale redundant. And you can narrate the team through it. So there was times I'll say, when you get to this point, no one's going to like you. Your friends will stop going to lunch with you. And when this happens, this is what we do. But don't worry. It roughly takes about this time. And the next stage is this. And then they're going to love you again because you'd have done this, this and this.
Right.
So that when they reach that point of difficulty and challenge, they go, oh, I remember that. You told me this was going to happen. It's not a shock. They're prepared.
Yes. Yeah. And that is also interesting, because there's an element of before, during and after to the narration process.
Yeah.
As you said, it's preparing people by that front end explanation and narration. Then I guess keeping in touch by narrating during the course of the process and afterwards. Is that a sort of, you know, we talk about retrospectives, for example, after we finished a project and stuff like that. Is that also part of this process, allowing people to get closure and stuff like that, say, in a redundancy process?
Yeah, it ties closely to the execution as well.
Right.
So I talked about the difference between execution and implementation. So briefly, my view is when you implement stuff, it tends to mean that you have a strategic plan and you're following some predisposed steps, and when all those steps are done, it's implemented. Well, when you're executing, you're going back a step, you're going back to what is it that we want to do. So you start strategic thinking further back in the process,
right?
And then at the end of the process, you're like, did the thing we wanted to do and to happen, did it actually happen in the way we wanted it to happen? Was it executed? How many times do we see companies go, the plan was implemented, but the execution
was terrible. I remember seeing a fabulous cartoon once which had two trophy cabinets side by side, And the one for strategy was full of bright, shiny, silvery objects and stuff. And the one for execution had cobwebs in it and the shelves were falling out and stuff. And you're absolutely right. The plan can be fabulous. And actually, we can follow the plan and still nothing will happen.
Exactly. And that's the tragedy. And Maverick leaders don't, those that follow Maverick leadership principles don't allow that to happen, because when they're thinking of execution, they are dummy running. They're running simulations before they start to see if they're going to get the result they want. And they'll keep changing the sim until they get to that point where they think, this has got the best chance of that to work. Recognising it might not execute exactly the way you want to, but you have got through most of the issues before you got to that point.
So actually, testing, if you like, that this in some ways, I guess, is some of it visualization, a sense of testing in the mind of the leadership figure over and over again. Is some of it actually, well, let's experiment in the real world. Let's try this as well. So it's both virtual and real in terms of that constant testing.
Yeah, and they will. So people that follow Maverick leadership principles do not look for yes people. They will actively look out for people who will disagree, because they want to be challenged. And that's how they know that the idea is going to work. So they're like, basically, so John, tell me why this isn't going to work.
Yeah. Very interesting. Because and this is, I think, particularly interesting for you and I in a conversation, because I know that you and I are both the sort, or each the sort of person who seeks that challenge in order to test the idea and stuff like this. How do you, because you know, your business, your success, career success is founded upon enabling people to become more maverick as leaders. How do you start to work with people who don't welcome, let alone relish, that kind of idea challenge?
Success is a wonderful thing.
Right. Yeah.
So part of it is, sometimes it's that people can't foresee the success of a thing because it's outside their comfort zone or their experience level. So it's like, here's the revolution we're going to go, and here are the evolutionary steps we're going to take to get there. So part of it's, and also people tend to think about the one-off thing that they're doing, and it's not. It's the Maverick leadership is about everything that you're doing. So it's, I don't know where you're going with this, but I trust. I remember actually I was working with a colleague very recently, and we're delivering joint training, and I had this particular exercise in mind, and it made me think. He went, I really have no idea where you're going with this, but I trust it will be okay.
Right.
And, because he literally didn't understand what I was going to be doing. But that trust comes from knowing previous successes.
Right.
And also knowing if there was a failure, I would be able to deal with that in a way that the client wouldn't be upset with. Yes. And it worked perfectly. So I didn't have to spend ages going, well, my intention is to do this. It was like, I don't really get it, but that's fine, because you get it. Right. So that's okay.
this is great, actually, because does that in turn mean that Maverick leaders sometimes will need to be iterative with their teams? They'll need to show little successes, if you like, from Maverick behavior before saying, right, and now we're going to completely deconstruct and reconstruct the whole business. We've got to work towards that trust.
Yeah, because Maverick leaders spend a lot of time learning and becoming experts in fields adjacent to their own.
Right.
So they end up understanding a lot of stuff more than, so they're very broad and deep in their knowledge, which means that they can see more connections. So the thought processes are faster, and also because they're very curious, they're constantly going, I wonder what would happen if, I wonder what would happen if, I wonder what, so that if something happened or they need to do something, it's already pre-thought, because somewhere they've had some thought that this could possibly happen. So when you're dialoguing with somebody or coming up with a solution, your brain is almost, your thought process is like a butterfly. You're flitting along. So it appears to others that you have just come up with this idea, because they don't see the steps. So you have to explain, until they trust you, you have to explain to say, right, I know I've just gone from A to W and Z, but these are some of the other letters I hit before I got there. And then people can go, okay, that makes sense. And over time, you won't need to explain, because the success of your thinking is something to be trusted.
Right. Okay. So that I guess in turn means that, in a sense, being able to explain to people what letters one passed on the way between A and W actually is a discipline that Maverick leaders may need to learn, because they will sometime or other need to apply. Yeah,
absolutely. It took me a long time to understand. I couldn't understand why people didn't get what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Until somebody actually said, I don't know how you got there. And it's a bit like theory of mind. It's like,
yeah,
to me, it was really obvious. Mm-hmm. But they haven't been learning the other disciplines. So so I think that's what makes Maverick leaders tend to be very creative, because they pick up the data points all the time.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Which can be annoying to people, because it means Maverick leaders always have something to say, because it might not be in their area. So I know when I was younger, I probably was super irritating, but I probably didn't realise how super irritating I was. Because I would just walk into different people's offices. I'd sit down with the market director and go, what's happening? And then I'd go, oh, that's interesting, because you know you can do X, Y, and Z. But to me, that felt normal, because I was observing and listening to what was going on. And sometimes you would have something that they didn't know, because they're not discussing it with sales or not discussing it with finance.
Yep.
But I am. Or I'm listening.
Interesting. Very interesting. So the context, and by which I mean all of those wraparound things that are adjacent to the experience of the team and the individuals in it, is actually a field in which Maverick leaders will want to play. Not just sometimes we'll engage with. And is that curiosity? Is that recognised, do you think, in business, in leadership generally?
No, absolutely.
No.
And I think it's not recognised, because I think most exec teams don't feel there's a place for the curiosity. Because if you think about it, the curious person is difficult to manage, right?
Yep.
Because they will ask why. So why do we want to do this? Why? Mm-hmm. Where are you going? And if people haven't thought through the plan, they might see it as a challenge rather than a genuine desire to discover.
Yep.
You know, or if you're Maverick, people that follow Maverick leadership principles are natural consultants, internal consultants, because they'll have very engaged networks, and they will know something that's important in every single department, because for them, that's how their brain works. I can't see how this works. Let me go and spend a day in this department, or let me go spend some time with this person. Now I know how that fits with my job. And that in itself can be a bit of an issue for people that like to control everything.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah. So which brings me on, I guess, to the other question, fundamental question around the Maverick paradox, is why is it a paradox? Why do you describe it as a paradox that some people are Maverick leaders?
Because people love the idea of Maverick leaders. They love the fact that Maverick leaders can come in, size up the issue, find exactly what needs to be done. They know who to speak to, what little bit of creativity is required. But to do all that, because they tend to be hired because nothing else works, right?
Yes, last resort.
and to get it to work, they get given a lot of autonomy to get things done. And they will break the rules that need to be broken. Yeah. They will jump through the hierarchy, because they will just, if they need to speak to CEO, they're going to speak to CEO. They have no problems knocking on his door.
Yep.
And that is great when everything's not working and that person's putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it becomes business as usual, the Maverick leader starts to look for something else to do.
Right.
And then their peers are like, hang on a second, why is it that this person has this much authority? Why is it that this, and this? And because they've been working, it makes it look easy.
Yeah.
People start to wonder why that person's doing what they're doing. So the paradox is, they want you desperately to come in and sort things out. But when you do, they absolutely hate you for doing it, because you've made it look really easy. You've shown that there is bureaucracy that doesn't need to be there. You have great relationships. You always get to speak to the people that you need to speak to.
Yep.
And there's a huge amount of professional jealousy. And what makes it worse is that the Maverick leader doesn't want the accolades or stuff like that. So they don't even like the fact they're not ego-driven about it. So it's even more annoying.
Yeah, so all of these plaudits and things from on high and all that sort of thing are actually irrelevant to the Maverick leader.
Yeah.
It's not what actually pushes their buttons. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, because they want execution. They want effective execution in a manner that is honouring other people.
Right.
Right. So they're not interested in office politics. They could play it if they want to, but it's not something they're interested in doing. So they just get it done.
And I can understand perfectly why that would make somebody an outsider. Because actually, if we think about this phrase, office politics, which is a very nice sort of catch-all, really, for that political behaviour that we all engage in sometimes in all sorts of things. Actually, yeah, because office politics creates a hierarchy, and people are very comfortable inside a hierarchy when they know what their place is. They might want to climb up a bit higher and so on. But if you've got suddenly this person who bobs in and out and doesn't actually care whether or not they're perceived as important, that's quite dangerous. It's sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a bit like a Guy Fawkes or somebody like this, really, is trying to, because it's against the system. And is it fair to say that is this where this word maverick comes from, really?
Yeah, so I define mavericks as willfully independent people. So not willfully like a toddler that's standing its feet going gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yep.
But willful in the sense of, I know this is the right thing to do and I will do it because it's the right thing to do. And if you don't like it, that's something you have to learn to live with.
Yeah, and willful independence is the anathema of a hierarchical system, isn't it, really?
They'll be intelligently disobedient.
Oh, well, I like that phrase. I'm going to use that as my excuse, I think, in future. I think really actually, in a way, intelligent disobedience is exactly what organizations should always be looking for, a bit like disrupting oneself before the market does and stuff like that. So how do we, not so much create maverick leaders, because you can't create these, how do we encourage more people to become maverick leaders, do you think?
Okay. So I would just argue with you just a little bit to say, yes, you can create maverick leaders because it's not requiring a maverick personality. It helps to be a maverick personality, but you don't need to be, because it's a way of being and doing and mindset. So we talked about being driven. We talked about the fact of being adaptive, thinking outside the box, being objective.
Yep.
So it's, as you can imagine, I've got a whole, box of stuff.
Of course, yeah.
But it's like, so let me give you an example. So I remember years ago, I went into an organisation and I was given a member of staff. And I was talking to her ex-boss and I was saying, oh, she's amazing. She's so maverick. And the lady went, what do you mean? She's so compliant. And I was like, what? And what I realised, because I saw her very, as a very willful, independent person. And her boss said that she was very compliant and hesitant. And what I realised was because I was using maverick leadership principles with her that enabled her to fly.
Right.
So I expected her to challenge.
Yeah.
And I taught her to do that well by challenging me often.
Right. Yes.
And she got to observe how I responded to challenge and how I sort it out.
Right.
And, a room full of people agree with me. I'd say, no, I don't know. No, what's wrong? This is not a good picture. Let's argue about this.
Yeah.
You know. So she saw the kind of how to be more driven, how to be more lateral thinking. So a big tenet of maverick leadership is a lateral thinker. So you can teach lateral thinking to people, for example.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And once people recognise that they have agency, I think things changes. So I would say I could count on one hand the amount of times as a HR person I said no. But I couldn't count on my hands how many times people did what I wanted them to do. but it's not manipulative. Mm-hmm. It's because it was them recognising that this is all the information. This is my opinion. But the decision that you make belongs to you.
Right.
You have agency in that position. So there's good and bad consequences of everything. Your choice is to decide based on who you are or what you think is right to do.
So this is maverick leadership is essentially a skill that can be learned. Because I guess it's a behavior, like all leadership actually exemplifies itself in behaviors and things. That's great, actually. Well, we've had a good conversation. We could talk about this for hours and hours and hours. I'm just thinking, we have an inevitable top tip, question, obviously, at the end of each of these podcasts. What's your top tip for people? What would be your top tip for either an organization wanting to encourage more maverick leadership within it, or indeed for an individual wanting to become more maverick in their behavior?
I would say recognize who you are in terms of your values and your principles, because they should be unmovable.
Yep.
And if you are principled, then you're unlikely to be manipulated into doing something, and you're more likely to be stand up for things that aren't right.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like recognizing that you have agency and you need to use that responsibly.
I think that's a lovely punctuation mark, because we've talked a lot about maverick leadership being having to understand the context, being an element of deep curiosity within it, still retaining some discipline and being a skill that can be learned. Yet at the end of the day, it's not a manipulative behavior.
No,
it's a values-based behavior. And I think that's a really, really important point for us to end on, because actually, values is something which is talked about an awful lot, but not deeply understood by many people. So Judith, really, thank you so much for that short conversation. And I know that we'll be coming back to this, I think. So that's it, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us today. My special thanks to our guest, Judith Germain, and of course, to you, the audience, for listening. Please do join the conversation via social media using the hashtag Leadership at the Edge. And for more of our podcasts and events and lots of other content, visit the website www.leadership.global, subscribe and mention us to your colleagues. Thank you again to you, Judith, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.